our readings. Our reading from Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And a second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tana, kupu kia tātou.
Morena. Good morning. I actually did prepare just a 3-minute talk for the kids, if they would like to break. Otherwise, I'll just skip on. What do you want to do? Do you want to come and hear this little story? Come on. Come on down. No? Sorry. Okay. Yep, you're here. Okay, you can be pretend children for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, look, it involves some coins. Sorry, kids, they're not for you. Yeah, some little coins here. So the... Just about wrecked the mic. Just fix that. Still working, James? Good. Okay, the reading that we had today... Yeah, oh, good, thank you for coming. Is about... It sort of starts in a funny place. It says, why does this surprise you? What a strange way to start a reading, eh? And it's about the people were surprised because of what happened just before that. And what happened involved some coins. You see, there was this man, and he used to sit, you know, just at the gate of the temple. The temple was what they called churches in that day. So it was like sitting on the front stairs, you know, just outside the church. He used to sit there, and he couldn't walk. He didn't have a wheelchair. He didn't have nothing. He just, you know, he just used to sit at the gate. And he used to sit there because he hoped that the people that came in would be generous and they would give them some of their gold and silver. You see how the coins, gold and silver? Don't see a lot of these coins nowadays, do we? It's normally all plastic, but that's what they were talking about. And two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, came past. And so he held out his palm and he asked them for alms, which is what they call these coins which you give to a beggar. And you know what Peter said to him? He said, I'm sorry, mate. I don't have no silver and no gold. What I have is really good news for you, because in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. How would you feel if you'd never been able to walk and then suddenly you could? Do you think you'd just walk? Or do you think you might run and jump and dance and things like that? What do you reckon? Hey, you'd run. Yeah, for sure. You'd want to go as fast as you can. And that's what happened. So that's the backstory to this. That's what the beggar did. And I thought that maybe it was a miracle, wasn't it? And it was a miracle caused by Jesus. And I thought that maybe as you go back to your seat, you might want to demonstrate what you think that man did. Running and jumping and dancing down back to your seats. Okay? Off you go. Go, go. And I'm going to sing this little song. Peter and John went to pray. Go, go. It met a young man on the way. He held out his palms and asked him for alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And now you know what your parents used to do in Sunday school. That's how we used to get taught. I didn't think we could really start the service without talking about what happened beforehand, so there was an opportunity. Just pray for a minute just to center us. Father God, search our hearts as we consider your word today. Amen. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. So a little bit unusual, the readings today, in that we didn't have a gospel reading, but the Acts reading was really an extension of the gospel, wasn't it? It's just an extension of that story. And there was also a little bit of confusion on some of the sheets. So well done for Ian for improvising. Some of the readings that you have prepared, you will hear next week. So that's what happened. Last week, Ian spoke about how God's beauty and love chase after us every day of our lives. There's that verse from the message. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life, and I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Wow, isn't that just amazing? And today in 1 John, we are reminded of the vastness of God's love for us, that we are his children and we are his hope. You know, that lame man thought that silver and gold was what he needed. But that actually wasn't what he really needed. What he really needed was healing. Healing would remove so many other obstacles from his life, giving him new life and a whole new way of being. Sometimes our vision of God and of what is possible is too limited. So I just want us to pause for a moment and consider where that might be true for us. In our reading from Acts, it seems that the onlookers were amazed, and who can blame them? I mean, there had just been a miracle in their midst. Perhaps their vision of what was possible was limited too. Maybe they weren't expecting a miracle now that Jesus was gone. Last week, Ian also preached about how Jesus rescues us, and he rescued the disciples from fear of the future and from fear of others. And that reading focused on Thomas, didn't it? Old doubting Thomas. Boy, I'd hate to be named Thomas. To have that kind of label, you know, sometimes names, they have labels associated. But today I wanted to remember Peter's fear, because he's one of the main players in our readings. And his fear in the story that directly precedes our reading for today. Because, you know, his last couple of weeks had been pretty stinky, really, when you think about it. You know, they'd been pretty awful. He'd overpromised and underdelivered for Jesus. He'd pretended not to know him. And then they had an uncomfortable conversation on the beach where Jesus asked him, using his formal name, it's like Penelope, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" But did you ever notice that in that meeting, Jesus does not condemn Peter? I think that Jesus asked him those questions not to actually bring up that awkward situation, so that he could give Peter hope, so that he could affirm him and show them that he still had a place. He still had a purpose. And so it is that we come to this reading where see Peter growing and stepping out beyond his fear. We see him acting in faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, believing in the saving power of Jesus Christ. The first thing that Peter does in our reading is to challenge people's perceptions. Why does this surprise you? But you know, my experience is that we often are surprised by healings. And yet we know that Jesus wants to make us whole. And what Peter realizes, what they needed to know was that it wasn't him that did it. It wasn't him and John with some fancy powers, that it was the power of Jesus Christ that had done this. He turns the focus onto the cross. It's a bit of an awkward moment, really. He turns the focus onto Jesus, and the next thing that probably comes into their head is, "Oh, isn't that the guy we crucified?" Ouch. And I was thinking about the last time that Bruce spoke, how he spoke about that scene right before the crucifixion, and how we can all probably see ourselves in one or many of the characters that we see before the cross, in the jeering crowd, in the washing of hands, in the injustice of it all. Yes, we are all sinners. We all fall short. Sometimes it's deliberate, and sometimes it's just ignorance, isn't it? We don't realize until afterwards. In John 20:23, that passage describes one of the appearances to the disciples, Jesus' appearance to the disciples after he rose from the dead. And in that it says, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Ooh, that's weighty power, isn't it? And I think that that is partly why we see Jesus in this situation forgive. I mean, they killed his best friend. The most terrible death you can imagine. But Peter forgives, and he gives the crowd the benefit of the doubt. He goes on to do another act, this time one that Jesus says in our gospel reading for today, about how he will be, it's on that screen, isn't it? Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name, beginning in Jerusalem. And where are they? Jerusalem. Just as Jesus showed grace towards his disciples and gave them hope, so Peter shows grace towards the crowd and he gives them hope. He shows them the way to peace and salvation. Jesus died, yep. But he's no longer dead. He's alive. And he has the power to save. Not just to temporarily wash away our sins, like John, but to permanently eradicate them. Gone. Gone burger, as they say. This is hope indeed. This is what we believe. This is what we believe. And what did the people need to do to receive this? They needed to repent. Do you remember what that means? I know I've given this definition a few times. It means to change direction, to go a different way, to stop going the way of sinfulness, the way of lawlessness, as it's put in 1 John, and instead to walk in God's way. This might be triggering things for you, so we're just going to take a moment, pause again, and just think of a situation of forgiveness or any lawlessness in our lives that we also need to bring before the Lord. And you know, repentance, that is changing track and choosing to be a disciple of Jesus, following God's way, not only wipes out our sin, but in 1 John we're promised that it will also bring a time of refreshing in the Lord. And so we come to our passage from 1 John, which shows us what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus. To live in a relationship which is full of abundant love. John reminds us that we are children of God, that we are to copy what we see our Father doing, just as a child does with their parent, sometimes without even realizing it. I have this very vivid memory of watching my grandfather, my father, and my brother walking on the beach in front of me. And if I hadn't been able to see their top halves, I wouldn't have known which was which. Their gait was absolutely identical. It just gets absorbed, some of that behavior, doesn't it? Yeah. That's what disciples do. They copy their teacher. And as Christians, we're often asked to examine our lives to root out sin. And that's important. It's important that we do that. But we also need to examine how closely we are following our teacher. Are we listening to what God has to say? Are we reading his word? Are we open to the Holy Spirit's transforming power, letting it act in our lives? The writer John reminds us that we are God's beloved children. We hope and we trust in him. When we see him, we will be like Jesus. We will be pure. And purifying ourselves will be a journey. We will stop sinning. We will stop our lawlessness. We will keep focused on the Master. We will choose God's way over our own way. We will do right. We will be righteous people. And I want to point out that that's not what John says we must do. It's what he says we will do. Just pause for a moment and just consider which of these things stand out for you. What do you most long for? Healing. Purity. Seeing face to face. Getting closer. As one commentator put it, and I couldn't go back and find where I got this from, sorry. And this applies equally to both genders, just in case you're confused, this person was. The life of a man reveals the source from which he draws his life. It is more than holding the right thoughts. What he does points to habitual practice. And that's what it's about. It's about living in an attitude of. When we live in this model, we live from a place of internal energy, internal power, of grace and love, and that's what should be flowing out of us, just like it did from Jesus and it did from Peter. That happens when we walk in tune with our Redeemer, wearing his yoke, walking his way. And our reward will be redemption. Times of refreshing with the Lord. Oh, it's just tantalizing to me. Who wouldn't want that? Room to breathe, to be, and to be loved. Then, from that place, we can love ourselves better, and we can love others better, and we can let that inner light shine through. Shine through our cracks, actually. And like Peter, we can be agents of drawing all people to our living and loving God. And it must be my morning for singing, because I'm going to close by singing this prayer as a chorus. And you're welcome to join me if you know it, or just to let the words wash over you. I'm just going to throw my pitch. Make me like you, Lord, make me like you. You are a servant, make me one too. Oh, Lord, I am willing, do what you must do to make me like you, Lord. Please make me like you. Amen.
Let's stand for our next worship song, Cornerstone.